Praise the Lord. You know, when I come here, there's just a little bit of vanity. You know, you really don't want to cry and mess up your whole face before you have to get up to speak to a congregation. But the Spirit of the Lord, you know, He starts moving and Pastor Treva starts bringing worship and the Holy Spirit starts to fall. And at some point you have to say, oh, forget it. Just forget it. This is my second set of Kleenexes, I want you to know. And the only consolation I have is that I know that Pastor Eric is as big a ball bag as I am. So, you know, so I know that y'all are used to seeing that. The only thing, he doesn't wear makeup that streaks. So if I got streaks this morning, I can't help it. I can't help it. Oh, praise the Lord. It is such a joy to be here with you. It always is. The presence of the Lord is just... He is palpable in this place. You can feel Him when you walk into this place. As I listened when I came in during Sunday school, started during Sunday school, people are talking and they're interacting and they're talking about the Word of God. And then we come in and we do worship and it's alive. It's not dead. It's alive. The worship, your worship is alive. And that's because you serve a God that's alive. And I think you know Him. I think you know Him. Oh, I'm on preaching. I'm not even preaching on that this morning. My word. My word. I have a question for you this morning. Go ahead and put that first slide up if you will. Oh, well, I'm looking back there and it's not on that one, so I was waiting for it. So what do you want? And I don't know if you've ever been asked that in church this morning or ever. And as I thought about it, I realized I'd never been asked that in church. What do you want? Usually it's, what can you do? I don't know who Sister Sue is, but thank the Lord for Sister Sue. Cleaning that kitchen, there's always more work that can be done. And I know this place is full of deacons and janitors and Sunday school teachers and people that fix food when family members pass away and everything else. And all I can say is thank you, because I'm a worker in my church and I know there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And if you don't do it, then it doesn't get done. So thank you for being the hands of Christ, the voice of Christ, the feet of Christ, because that's what people need. That's the only way that they see Christ. So thank you for that. But typically when you come to church, you don't get asked, what do you want? I'm asking that this morning because the Bible tells us about a man who wanted a lot of things. The Bible also tells us that he got what he wanted. And so since all scripture is God-breathed, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's something for us to know and understand about his story. So we're going to talk about him today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles 4. We're going to pick up with verse 9. And let me give myself a disclaimer right now. I got new glasses. This is the first time in my life that I've had to wear glasses full time. The good thing about that is I don't have near as many notes because I have fewer pages because I can see them. Now, I don't have 24 font. Last time I came, my font was 24. So I didn't have to wear my reading glasses because on and off that gets on my nerves. But these are those progressive lenses. Lord, help me. Every time I move my head, something looks different. And half of what I see is out of focus. So if it looks like I'm looking at you funny, it's really not you. I'm just trying to see. Just trying to see. Oh, I'm just trying to see. We're going to pick the story of Jabez up in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, starting with verse 9. Right in the middle of the genealogies of the tribe of Judah. A very odd place to put these two verses about Jabez. That's all that there are, two verses. In a different part, it tells us that there's a town named Jabez. But in 1 Chronicles, there's two verses about him. We don't know the name of his father or his brothers or his mom, but the scriptures are in there. So there's a reason for us that they are in there. We're going to study them this morning. Starting with verse 9, this is, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Just so you know, there have been books written about the prayer of Jabez. And I have purposely not read those books in preparation for this sermon because I don't want to speak to you what somebody else has spoken. I wanted to speak to you what God wanted you to hear. And I will tell you that when I picked that title or the one that was up there a while ago, I didn't start out there. I started out way down here back in January when Pastor Eric called me. He said, "What's on your heart?" And I started pouring out what God was teaching me in January. And he said, "Man, that sounds good. I want you to come April the 15th. That's where I started. And God kept backing me up in those scriptures. Okay, well now I'm getting into this, Lord. I see that. And he kept backing me up into these scriptures. And when I got way up here, I thought, well, Lord, what in the world? But you know, sometimes we have to say, okay, well, this isn't about me. So what is it that you want me to say? And I believe what the Lord gave me to say, somebody here, probably many of us here, need to hear today. The first thing that Scripture tells us about Jabez is that he was more honorable than his brothers. We don't know who his brothers are, but Jabez was more honorable. And in the Hebrew, that word has a few meanings. It means heavy. It means weighty. But it also means rich and very great. So from that we understand that Jabez was a very great person in his community, in his family, where he lived. But he was also a very wealthy person, more so than his brothers. Jewish history tells us that he was a doctor of the law. He studied the Old Testament. He studied the Word of God. And he was a mentor to other scribes. If we look at verse 10, the Bible tells us that Jabez cried out to God. He didn't just ask from God. He didn't just wish God would do something for him. He just didn't think about it or suggest that God do something for him. The Bible says he cried. That's the point that the Holy Spirit finally backed me up to, the cry. Because a cry denotes some kind of intense emotional feeling deep within us. Now, if we don't have that intensity within us, then we would just ask. We just ask for something. We just ask for what we want. But the Bible says Jabez didn't just ask. He cried. He cried with a loud voice. He cried from a place of intensity in his heart. Sometimes we have it in our guts. Wherever you feel your place of intensity, that's where he cried from. Did he cry from his need? Most likely not. Jabez was a very wealthy man. Wealthy people pretty much can take care of whatever financial situations that they have. They want something, they just go get it because they're wealthy. He probably didn't cry out of his need. But he did cry out of a place of passion in his life. And let's see what he asked for. First thing he asked for was that God would bless him. That God would make him happy. That God would make him successful. That God would prosper him with peace and with plenty. Well, from the word search of honorable, it would seem that Jabez already was blessed. He also asked that God would enlarge his territory, that God would increase or multiply what he already had, that God would give him more, that God would extend or expand his boundaries and his limits. All of those are in the Hebrew meaning of those words, enlarge and territory. The bottom line is Jabez cried out for more. He cried out for more. And he cried out from a place of passion. Perhaps he cried out of a place of discontentment, out of a place of dissatisfaction, out of a place of deep longing. There was something in him that just wasn't satisfied. And so he cried out to God from that place of desire or passion. Let me tell you this morning that many times our passions, our desires, our internal struggle with dissatisfaction and discontentment is an indication from God that He has something more for you. It's an indication, perhaps, of His purpose and His plan and His assignment for you. And it is an indication that you do not need to be satisfied where you are. It's an indication that you don't need to settle for something less. It's an indication that you don't need to settle for what somebody else says is good. Just because it was good for them doesn't mean that it's God for you. You know, people say, well, is it good or is it God? Well, all good things come from God. So if it's good, it came from God. But there is a difference in when God fulfills His purpose and His plans in your life. And that dissatisfaction that is within us, you may have it good, but if there's a dissatisfaction in there, a discontentment in there, longings that are in there, then God has something more. So let me ask you, what do you want? What do you want for your future, your life? What do you want for your children or your family? What do you want for your marriage? What do you want for this church and this community? What do you want from God? Or let me ask it this way. What did you used to pray for before life happened and put a damper on your hopes and your dreams? What did you used to pray for before situations and circumstances happened and kind of caused those hopes and dreams to kind of go by the wayside? What did you used to ask God for? Jabez asked God in part for material things. He was a wealthy man, but he asked for more. But that wasn't all that he asked for. He asked that God's hand would be with him. Now, in that part of the prayer, Jabez wasn't asking for possessions. He had already asked for possessions. How many know when you get God's hand, you get the rest of God with Him? Okay. My hand is not going to go anywhere that the rest of me doesn't come. Jabez was asking for God's presence in his life. He was asking for God's protection, for God's wisdom, for God's discernment, for God's strength. He was asking for everything that the presence of God could bring into his life. One of the commentaries that I read said that the patriarchs in the Old Testament, whom all were rich, by the way, did not distinguish the material things from the spiritual things because they understood that the two came together. When you sought the presence of God, well, when they sought the presence of God, they received the possessions of God. And then they used the presence of God and the possessions of God in their lives to fulfill God's purpose in their lives, in their time period. God wants us to know and understand the same thing. We need His presence. We need His possessions so we can fulfill His purpose in us and through us. But Jabez didn't stop here. He kept asking. He asked that he would be kept from harm. This is the NIV version, but the King James version, New King James, says that he would be kept from evil. The Hebrew of that word means distress, worry, trouble, or sin. He wanted to be kept from all of that so that he would be free from pain. Or the King James, New King James, says so that he would not cause pain. See, Jabez was done with pain. He was actually named out of his mother's pain when she gave birth to him. Her pain was so great that she named her child a name that meant to sorrow or to grieve. Now, that's a terrible name for a kid. You could probably get beat up for a name like that. And maybe he did. Maybe he was bullied. I don't know what his story was. The Bible doesn't tell us. But nobody wants that kind of a name. But that's the name he had. So he was done with pain. And so he asked God to keep him from it. And what does the Bible say God did? He granted his requests. That means he received his enlargement. He received the presence of God. And he was done with pain. And everybody in here says, oh, hallelujah. You know, that's what the Bible says. He asked for it all. Jabez asked for it all. You might call him a blessing hog. You know. But I have to believe that because he was a studier of the word, and he had studied the scripture that they had up to that point, which was the Old Testament, basically the Pentateuch and the Psalms, he knew what God had done for the patriarchs. He knew that God had more for him, and he wanted it. Now, he didn't even have the benefit of the New Testament, which in Acts chapter 10 tells us that God is not a respecter of people. He didn't know that God had written in the Word in the New Testament that God doesn't show favoritism. But he knew from God's pattern that God didn't show favoritism, that God had more, and he wanted it. So the Bible tells us that he cried out for it. I believe the story of Jabez is meant to stir something up within us. It is to stir that heart cry. It is to stir the hopes and the dreams that he has given us. Because you see, everyone in here has received some of that. Because everyone in here, when you were created in your mother's womb, God had a purpose and a plan for your life. With that purpose, with that plan, came hopes and dreams. And for some of you came visions, because God gives visions. Those are meant to open the windows of our soul and spirit so that we can see what God wants to do in us and through us, what he wants us to come into agreement with him about, so that we can dream with him and so we can run with him. Do you know God wants you to run with him? He doesn't want you just to, all right, come on, let's go. He wants you to be excited about what he's excited about. And that's what those hopes and dreams are for. But you know, life happens. And we get discouraged. And we get disappointed. And our hopes and our dreams get dashed. They kind of go by the wayside, or they get put up on a shelf because it wasn't the right time. This story is not even in my notes, but I got to tell it this morning because it's on my mind. I went to a meeting, it's been several years ago, and the speaker was telling about a friend of hers. The woman at that point was in her 70s, but when she was young, before she was even married, she was in college, she felt like God was calling her to the mission field. But her opportunity never really came. So she got married and always had that in the back of her mind, you know, but Lord, I'm supposed to go on the mission field, and opportunity never really came. But she had children, and she, you know, took care of her house and her husband, and she had a job, but all the time that was here, there was a discontentment here because she thought God had told her she was supposed to go on the mission field, and so her husband passes away, her children are grown. At that point, she was mid-60s, and a friend of hers said she was going to a meeting. There was going to be a missionary there and wanted this older lady to go with her. And the older lady really didn't want to go, but she thought, well, you know, I don't have anything else to do, I'll go. And so Sister Lorraine went to the meeting, and halfway through the meeting, the missionary looked at her, never having met her before, looked at her and said, God told me to tell you that it was time. And Sister Lorraine looked at her and said, well, what do you mean? And she said, it's time for you to go on the mission field. And she said, what? The missionary was going back to Africa in a month, and she wanted Sister Lorraine to go with her because God had told her that it was time. So when Sister Lorraine got home, she's like, what are you doing? I'm old now. Why didn't you let me go when I was young, when I had energy, when I had health? I'm old. Do you not see? I'm old now. I can't do this. And she wrestled with God over that for that last month. But before she got there, in her questions about why, the Holy Spirit finally spoke to her. The Father spoke to her and said, because it took me this long to get them ready. That's for somebody. Because if you've been waiting for something and you don't know why it's taking so long, or maybe now the opportunity is here, and you're like, I can't do it now, God. There is a reason. But don't let those hopes and those dreams die. God wants you to know this morning that there is more. But in our dissatisfaction, we squelch everything. We act like it's not important, and we just get in the trench of doing what we do every day. But all the while, there's something in here. There's something in here for our children, for our families, for our church. More that we want from God. There's a discontentment, a dissatisfaction. There's a desire that hasn't been met that says, I'm not satisfied here. I'm not satisfied. There's got to be more. And God says there is. There is. James chapter 4 verses 2 and 3 tell us you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Motive is everything in the kingdom of God. God is not near as concerned about what you ask for as He is why you're asking. God is about blessing people so people can bless other people. Because guess what? They're blessed through us. It doesn't just, the sky doesn't just open and fall out whatever it is that they need. God does it through His people because we are His kingdom on earth. Jabez didn't ask for what he needed. But if God gave it to him, it must have been that he was a good steward and productive and faithful with what he already had. If God gave it to him, then it must have been that God knew for Jabez to fulfill his purpose and plan in this life, he was going to need more. And let me remind you, God has a purpose and a plan for you as well. He's got good works established already for you to do. We see that in Ephesians 2:10. We were created in Christ to do good works that God has already planned. But we need sustenance. We need God's presence to do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you just don't even know what to ask for. There's a unsettling, there's a dissatisfaction that comes up every now, but you don't even know what to ask for. I've been there. Several years ago, I was reading books. I was reading God Chasers and God Catchers, and I was reading about the generals of the faith, John G. Lake and Dwight L. Moody and Mariah Woodworth Eder and Catherine Coleman, and I was so stirred up because what happened in their ministries, I don't see in my world. I don't see it in my world. And I was just grieved. I was discontented. And it wasn't out of my life. I have a good life. I have a good family. I have a great husband. I have a good job. And I have a good boss who happens to be my great husband. And he doesn't yell at me or anything. I mean, we get along really well. So I've had people say, well, I couldn't work with my husband. We'd kill each other. Well, you can't afford to do that because if you get mad at each other at work, guess what? You're going home together. You might as well get over it. And if you get mad at each other at home, well, guess what? You got to go to work together. So, you know, he's real nice to me. Maybe it's because he knows he's got to come home with me and I'm going to be the one fixing his dinner. I don't know. But we make it work. We make it work. So I wasn't frustrated or discontented out of my life. But there's something more here. And I was driving to work one morning. I was looking up at the sky. And I was frustrated. And I said, God, there's got to be more. But I don't even know what to ask for. And I've heard people say, pray this specific prayer. God answers specific prayers. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, when you don't have the words to put on how you feel, how are you going to pray a specific prayer? I said, God, I don't even know what to ask. But please don't limit me because of my inability to put words to whatever this is. I don't know. But in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, He dropped a verse into my heart in my mind, and many of you can quote it with me, Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to His power that works within me. And halfway through that, you ever had an aha moment? Oh, God, if I ask it, well, it might just be me. If I can think it, then it might just be me. But God, you can do more than that. So I'm just asking you to do more than I can ask or think. And I'll just get on board with you, God. You just show me what it is. You just open the opportunity. And I'm good with that, God. So just ask God to do more in your life. Because that's a prayer that He wants to hear. And that's a prayer that He will answer. Because He's always got more. And when you ask it, know that there's going to be a process attached to it. See, we don't see anything about process in Jabez's life. Nothing. Not one word. Those two verses are all that we get. But I can tell you there is a process, because what did not happen is the sky did not open 15 miles around Jabez's tent and extra land fall out. That didn't happen. There was a process to his increase. But we see a lot about process with the children of Israel on their journey from Egypt to Canaan land, because they cried out to God as well. They cried out of their discontentment, out of their slavery, out of their anguish, out of their sorrow, out of God's word. This wasn't what they were supposed to be doing, slaves in Egypt. And so God sent Moses to get the process started. Where they were going, their increase was the land of Canaan. A land that flowed with milk and honey. But to get there was a 40-year process for them. And it included floods. It included hunger and thirst. It included complaining neighbors. It included snakes. God help us all. I do not like snakes. And it included enemies, lots and lots of enemies, lots of war, lots of fighting. That was their process. They didn't like it. A lot of them didn't like it. Most of them didn't like it. They griped and they complained, and a number of them decided, we're done with this. We're done with Moses. We're done with this. They rebelled against the process, and they never made it to their place of increase because they died in the wilderness. We don't like process. Process can be long. Most of the time, it's going to be much longer than what you think. It's going to cost you more than you thought you would have to pay. It can be frustrating, and it can be downright scary. I love this. I saw this on Facebook. You can get good stuff off of Facebook, I'm telling you. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, God, what are you doing? You can't see your way through the process. You don't know how this is going to help anything. You're just holding on for dear life. The sand is shifting and you're just trying to hold on, trying to put our minds with whatever. We don't know. We don't like process. But God requires a process that requires our participation, active participation, because it's in that participation that we are changed. The children of Israel learned their process, caused them to be dependent upon God, to listen to God, to trust in God, to follow God. And it also prepared them to be able to possess what God was bringing to them. It was a joint effort. And we see a summary of that in Exodus chapter 23. I always put the scriptures up here because if we can see them and we can hear them, that's just a double dose. And we can't ever get too much of the word. So I know you probably have your words, your word, your Bible today, but that's why they're here. But starting with verse 23, the Lord starts out by telling them He's going to take care of it. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of all the Ites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. The emphasis on there is mine, those underlines. I will wipe them out. I'm going to do it. And don't you know they were all extremely happy to hear that. But the very next verse, God says, you must demolish them and break their sacred stones. So God said, I'm going to do what I can do, what only I can do. There are things in your life that only God can do. Things in your family, things in your marriage, things in your future, things in your church. Only God can do. But there are things that you also have to be doing and coming into agreement with him and participating with him. God said, I will send the terror, I will send the hornet in verse 28. But in verse 29 it says, but I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. And if we wonder why it's taken so long, there's a reason. And we don't usually know it. And that's why we get frustrated. And that's why we feel like quitting. And that's why we rebel sometimes or take ourselves out of the process. But verse 30 says, little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. God is looking for an increase in you so he can bring an increase to you. Do you understand that? He's looking for an increase in your level of integrity, in your character, in the fruit of the Spirit that operates in your life. Yeah, the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are important in the kingdom of God because they are the very nature of Christ. He's wanting to bring you to a place of increase so that when he brings you into your place of increase, that you will be a good steward of it. That you won't waste it. That you won't squander it. Some of us may be waiting for relationships or a repair of relationships. You know, relationships are meant to be cherished. They're meant to be nurtured. They're meant to be guarded. But if we are not careful, if we don't go through a process, if the process doesn't cost us anything, we may be more likely to squander it and to waste it than we will to cherish it. Did you know that 70% of big lottery winners go broke? I read that a couple weeks ago. It was a statistic put out by the National Endowment for Financial Education. And the reason they go broke is that they are not prepared emotionally or mentally to handle the responsibilities of that much money. Your increase, your more, whatever it is going to come with added responsibilities. We know the verse, to him that has been faithful with little, God will give him more. And maybe you've been here this morning and you have been faithful. And you're wondering, where's my more? I've been faithful, God. It's the process and I can't answer that. But if you seek God, he'll answer and he will take you through to where you need to go. God doesn't want us to fear the process, nor does he want us to wonder how we're going to get through the process or if we're going to have enough to get through the process or what the process is going to cost. Because if he can provide for millions of Israelites on a 40-year journey, there were no Walmart, I'm sorry. I love Walmart. There were no Walmarts. But he provided their food, their clothes, what they needed to drink. He provided everything that they need. He can get you where you're needing to go. He knows how to get you from point A to point B. It's your job to cry out. It's your job to be obedient to what he tells you that you need to do. Your more is different than mine. Yours will be different than yours. But whatever is in here, it's our job to petition God for it. And it's our job to be obedient to what he says. And it's his job to provide what we need to get to the place of increase and to bring us to that place. And he is faithful. Ms. Treva said this morning, sang this morning, the testimony of our lips said that he is a good, good father. And he is. Joshua chapter 21 verse 45 says, not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Not one. Every one was fulfilled. Every one. God's words to Jabez, Jabez's prayer, what he asked for, was fulfilled. the children of Israel had to put themselves in a place of receiving. And we need to put ourselves in a place of receiving as well. They received every day what they needed to make it through that day and into the next day. We need to put ourselves in a place of receiving. When I think about receiving, I think of 2,000 years ago, a group, probably not too different from us, gathered in an upper room because Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father was given them, the gift that was given them. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. They didn't know what was about to happen. They didn't know what their future was or their purpose. But they knew that there was something more. And so they waited, gathered together. They worshiped the Lord just as we did this morning. Probably sang different songs. They probably sang Jehovah Jireh and things like that. But they waited there. They waited there for a long time. They waited. And they pondered all that had happened. Jesus died. Wow. He was crucified. But he rose from the dead. I saw him. He rose from the dead. They talked with him. They walked with him after he was resurrected. They had no doubt that he was their Savior. And he told them to wait here because God the Father was sending a gift. And it must really be a gift because, man, who can do things like that? Who can raise somebody from the dead? This must be a phenomenal gift. God's got more for us. God's got more for us. And some of them got tired of waiting. So they decided to go home or go on vacation or go wherever they went. They got tired of waiting. Man, those 120 and, you know, that had started out there, they just said, we're going to wait because God's got something good. And as they prayed and as they pondered and as they asked God, I have no doubt that some of them, out of their frustration of waiting, began to cry out to God. God, what do you have for us? God, I want it. I'm not satisfied. The Holy Spirit swept into that place. He swept into that place. And he sat on them. And he filled them with everything they needed for their purpose and plan. He filled them with boldness. He filled them with courage. He filled their minds, their bodies, and spirit with the very Godhead himself. Because see, their purpose was to spread the gospel throughout Jerusalem and to the surrounding nations. And so the Holy Spirit equipped them for that very purpose. And he's here this morning to equip us as well. To equip you. What do you need? Do you need a heart cry? Has it been a long time since you've cried out to God? Has it kind of gone by the wayside? Or, you know, God has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a student or a housewife or a janitor or a teacher or a surgeon. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're 24 or if you're 84. It doesn't matter. If there's breath in your body, there is a purpose for your life. I don't know how many teachers are in here this morning or how many Sunday school teachers are in here, but I'm going to tell you right now, my teachers and my Sunday school teachers changed my life. They changed my life. They sowed in me. I was raised by my grandmother, a godly Christian woman. I owe everything I have to her and Jesus and my Sunday school teachers and my teachers because they sowed words of encouragement in me. They sowed words of expectation in me. They let me know, well, you can do that. You can do that. I can. Sometimes if you feel like all you can do is speak a word of hope, guess what? That's God. God is a giver of hope. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. But sometimes life just almost chokes it out. We get discouraged. Maybe we missed God sometime 5 years ago, 1 year ago, 10 years ago, and it wasn't God's fault, it was our fault. So maybe we don't feel like we have a right to ask now because we blew it back then. Or maybe we feel that I'm not really worthy to ask. I'm not a TV evangelist and I'm not the pastor. You know, I'm not worthy to ask anything of God. Maybe we just feel like God has more important things to answer than our prayers. But whatever it is, it just causes us to give up on what God is wanting to do. But the Holy Spirit is here this morning to renew that, to revive that. If you're here this morning and you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will remind you, it's a gift. It's a gift. I have seen children receive the Holy Spirit just like that. Just like that. Where my church, where I came from, you had to tarry. That's what they taught. You had to tarry. Well, you got tired of tarrying. Your knees got tired. I've seen people receive just like that. Through worship. They're just worshiping. They're just using their mouth to praise the Lord. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I want to receive what you have for me, God. Don't limit me by my inability to ask for what I need. When I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was too scared to ask for much because I saw what happened to my church. I was from a Pentecostal church. Those people would run sometimes. Ooh, it scared me. But I knew God had more. And all I could ask for was, God, I just want what you want me to have. And he filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you today too. Doesn't have to be a big show. This is not a performance. This is a relationship thing. It's a relationship. When we love somebody, we want all they have for us. And we want to give them all that we have to give. That's what it's about. Giving everything you have to God. And receiving everything he has for you. Bow your heads with me this morning. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. You may be here today and maybe you don't have a relationship with Christ. Every right that we have to ask God for anything comes through Christ. Because he's the one that purchased our salvation. He purchased our healing. And he makes intercession to God for us. Our relationship with him is vital. So if you don't have a relationship with Christ, or it's been a long time since you've talked with him, or it's been a long time since you've listened to him, I want to pray a prayer with you this morning so that you can make that right. Making it right has nothing to do with me praying. It has everything to do with you praying and you believing what you pray. That he is the Son of God. That he died on the cross for your sins. That he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. And that he has a purpose and a plan for your life. If you want to pray that prayer with me this morning, if you need to pray that prayer with me this morning, raise your hands. Then I will assume everybody in here knows the Lord. I will assume that you know his great love for you. So for you, there are those here today, I believe, that need to cry out to God out of that passion, out of that place in your heart that has been discontented or dissatisfied, that has questioned whether or not God has more for you. I believe there are others here that are in the process, you're neck deep in the process, or maybe knee deep in the process, and you're quite frankly tired of the process. But God requires that we stay in the process, and to do that, we need to receive from God what He has for us until He brings us into that place of increase. And I also firmly believe that everybody in here needs to receive anyway. If we are not in a continual place of refilling, we won't make it through the process. But if we hold on to God, just like that little boy in that roller coaster, God's going to take us where He wants us to get, to that place of increase and that place of more in our lives. So I'm going to ask this morning that you find a place to pray. Because see, Vicki Johnston can't give you one thing that you need. I can't give you what you need in your process. I can't take you through to your process. I don't even know what your process is going to be or what your place of more is. But God knows. We will be here to pray with whoever wants individual prayer. We count it a privilege to pray with you. We'll be around laying hands on people and praying for you as you pray. But first, I'm going to ask that you find a place to pray, either at your seat or here in the front, whatever your custom is, and that you spend some moments crying out to God over anything today that has touched your heart. Because I can tell you with assurance that God has more for you. He loves you very, very deeply. Find yourself a place to pray, please. Hallelujah.